Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
Well, the spill has already shut down some fishing areas, and all along the Gulf Coast, people who make their living from the sea are anxiously waiting. In Alabama, conservation scientist Jeff DiQuattro is watching oyster reefs.
I'm extremely worried about this, because oysters are under the surface of the water most of their life. Tarballs, if they get into an oyster reef, they will suffocate those oysters.
Seafood is a multi-billion dollar business in the Gulf, but it's just one of the valuable services the coast's marshes and estuaries provide. Professor David Yoskowitz is working at the Hart Research Institute for Gulf of Mexico Studies in Corpus Christi, Texas, to put a dollar figure on what are called ecosystem services. He looked at some 500,000 acres of marsh that might be affected by the spill.
We estimate that the impact on ecosystem services would be in the range of $1.2 billion per year. And in terms of this oil spill, if the biological impact on those marshes is significant, this could be something that doesn't take place in just 1 year, but in several years.
Now, when you say services, what are we talking about here?
Well, ecosystem services are those direct and indirect contributions that the environment makes to us as humans and impacts our human well-being. And we focus just solely on wetlands and the services of waste treatment and storm protection.
So this is not looking at fishing, which is the immediate economic benefit we think of when we think of these areas. This is just looking at these kind of hidden things that the wetlands do for us and we take for granted.
That's exactly right. I mean, we have a pretty good handle on the impact on commercial and recreational fishing. I mean, those are really well represented in the markets. What we're looking at is those goods and services that aren't represented in the markets that are hard to calculate, but in a lot of cases much more valuable than the marketed goods.
How does this ecosystem service work? How do the marshes do that for us?
Well, marshes are really really efficient in taking out nitrogen and phosphorus as well as other nutrients and essentially cleaning them or embedding them. In fact, a lot of wastewater treatment plants around the country and the world use constructed wetlands as a final processing point for their waste.
And what about as a storm barrier? How do they do that?
Well, if you can think about the miles and miles of wetlands that are in front of the city of New Orleans, if you get a significant storm surge for every mile of wetlands, it's estimated that the storm surge would be reduced by about a foot. So if you take that away, then you would have to engineer something that would be comparable, and that would be significantly expensive.
And Katrina taught us a painful lesson on that.
That's exactly right. And in fact, you know, where the dikes held, and this colleagues of mine had told me this on the ecology side, where the dikes held is where we had marsh built up in front of it, and where they didn't hold was where we didn't have marsh built up in front of it.
How do you see figures like this being put to use? What would a policymaker use this for?
Well, that's a good question. I think, you know, if you're looking at it at a local and a regional level, let's say you have a developer that wants to come in and put in a marina, which could potentially displace marsh and seagrass, as well as dig channels into barrier islands. If we're going to do a cost-benefit analysis, you know, the decisions are incomplete if they don't include all costs and all benefits provided by that environment. And so to make more complete decisions, we have to begin to incorporate these services that the environment is providing us.
The spill coming just a few months before we will mark the fifth anniversary of Katrina, it really gives you a reason to stop and think about how all this comes together, doesn't it?
It sure does. You know, it's 1-2 punch that's unfortunately happened to the Gulf Coast. And the first punch was with Katrina, and the second punch with the oil spill. It's imperative that we begin to take some action and start to really talk about what we receive in terms of the benefits from our natural environment.
David Yoskowitz at the Hart Research Institute for Gulf of Mexico Studies. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, the Gulf spill is also inspiring innovative use of social media on the internet to focus citizen response. The Louisiana Bucket Brigade has a map that shows instant reports of oil Bucket Brigade Director Ann Rolfa says it's a form of crowdsourcing.
Imagine, you know, if you're in a crowd and somebody starts giving away free beer, how the whole crowd rushes to the beer. That's what we're trying to replicate, except what we're trying to identify is places where there are problems from the oil spill.
The map shows beaches with tar balls and places where the smell of oil is strong. The Cornell Ornithology Lab's eBird program maps citizen sightings of Gulf Coast birds to help wildlife response teams on the ground. There's more about this at our website, loe.org. And speaking of social media, we have a new Facebook page. Look up PRI's Living on Earth on Facebook. Just ahead, the Senate launches a climate change bill in an uncertain political climate. Keep listening to Living on Earth.